Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The Colorado March for Life was just held at noon at the Capitol, and it really was a great time of encouragement. If you were there, or if you have questions about the status of the personhood battle and what's been happening in Colorado and around the country, please feel free to call 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we just got back seconds ago. In fact, the opening music had begun before I got in the studio. We were parking and getting into the studio from the downtown march. And what I'd like to do is share with you, well, a story that, wow, how do I do this? One of the speakers today, before the march, told some of the board of directors of Colorado Right to Life an account that was not shared from the podium, but I feel that it's important for us to be aware of where we're at in the battle for the hearts and souls and minds of not only the nation, but of Christians, and at least people going to Christian churches, including large Christian churches. So someone who spoke today told of being at a large Christian church, large meaning thousands of people at one service, and a sad announcement was made, and the announcement was that the youth pastor had impregnated one of the girls in the youth group, and that young girl needed an abortion, and the congregation was asked to chip in, and they passed the plate to raise money to pay for an abortion, a girl in the youth group who was impregnated by the youth pastor. And this is a large church that is, you know, by all outward appearances, you would say, well, that's one of the Christian churches in America. Now, I've been in this battle for a long time. We've been on the air for 20 years, and we have seen horrors among Christians who have been taught, don't judge, forgive everyone. And we've watched as the morality in the body of Christ has slid into where it's now in the gutter for millions of Christians who call themselves Christians, who believe that they're Christians, who go to Christian churches, even Bible churches, gospel churches, charismatic churches, Episcopal, whatever kind of churches. And we have watched the morality deteriorate. What has happened is our Christian leaders en masse, in other words, a large group, and a majority of them have become moral relativists. They are moral relativists. Our national pro-family ministries are moral relativists. And so that filters downward into the local fellowships and into the pews. Why is it we call the seats in a church pews? Why? I never figured that one out. Oh. That's why, because that's when the aroma goes up to God. That's why. And that moral relativism has filtered down to where today Christians have an awfully difficult time figuring out how to respond to sin, sexual immorality, not only within the world, but within the church. And so this is one of the worst. No, I think this is the worst of all the cases we've heard of women going to pastors for counseling, and the pastor ends up, you know, having an affair with a woman who's in a crisis, and all the even molestation and all the tragedies that we've heard about that have been in the headlines. This has got to be the worst. This has just got to be the worst. So our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Someone at the march, a gentleman there, handed out. It's a fun time. People come with homemade signs. Some people hand out literature that, and flyers and signs that they made. I've got right here, took it out of my pocket here, something that one gentleman was handing out. He's a guy maybe in his 60s, and he's just wandering through the crowd, and he handed out two sheets of paper with oversized, large, bold font, all caps, and it's just the simplest thing in the world that he presented. He says, the first sheet says that God came to us as an unborn child for 9 months. God came to us as an unborn child for 9 months. And that's it. That's on the first page. God came to us as an unborn child for 9 months. And I don't know if this guy was on American Right to Life's website, but there is an article there, The Bible and Abortion, and that article presents the evidence that just like Elizabeth, who carried John the Baptist in her womb, had a normal pregnancy, other than the fact of the conception was helped along by God. And then Elizabeth carried John the Baptist in her womb for 9 months. And then Mary was conceived. Mary conceived Jesus Christ in her womb by the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. And she carried the Lord for 9 months. So that's pretty cool. God came to us as an unborn child for 9 months. And if you go to AmericanRightToLife.org and click on the Bible and abortion, there's a section in there about a fetus has emotions, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, that as soon as the voice of Mary's greeting sounded in Elizabeth's ears, the baby leaped in her womb for joy. Luke chapter 1, verse 44. And then we also find out that Mary and Elizabeth, they carried these children for a full 9 months. That's the implication, the strong implication. The New Testament refers to Jesus in the womb as a child. In Luke chapter 2, a child, not a tumor or a blob or whatever else. The Bible refers to Jesus in the womb as a child and indicates that Mary had a normal gestation period carrying Jesus, whose body was developing within her, for a full 9 months. And by the way, you see that if you look at the Gospel of Luke, just a few verses, chapter 1, verses 56 and 57, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, you see just like Elizabeth carried John the Baptist for a full 9 months, till the fullness of time, so too Mary carried the Lord from when he was a single cell, a tiny embryo, till he was born, the infant in the manger. Now, let's go to the phones. And in Denver, David, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Howdy, David.
A big fan. I just recently ordered your Troubles with Lawyers. I'm halfway through it. It's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, The Trouble with Lawyers, a DVD from our BEL Classics TV show.
It's a devastating critique of lawyers, basically. I really enjoyed it. I'm halfway through it, and it's really good.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did. The funny thing is, if I recall, we did that quite a while ago, but lawyers would call in to defend their profession, and they would lie during the call.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I recommend it highly.
Yeah, we have a serious problem in America with our criminal justice system. Of course, I went to jury duty just 2 weeks ago, and the judge and the attorneys, they say we have the best system in the world. And by that, what they mean is that we have the highest paid lawyers in the world.
That's for sure.
Because if you look at the results, we have a terrible incarceration rate, a huge percentage of our people in jail and in prison, and we have a terribly high violent crime rate and sexual assault rate. So when you look at the results, you see we don't have the best system in the world.
That's not too good.
No.
Bob, I had a question for you about the topic of moral relativism.
Yeah, moral relativism.
And by the way, a separate book I'd like to recommend on that is by Beckwith and Kuchel. I know you debated Kuchel.
Yeah, Greg Kuchel,
yeah,
from Stand to Reason in California, who I believe is a moral relativist.
Yeah, he has a book on it. Actually, it's pretty interesting. It's called Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Midair. And it's one of his books. It's actually pretty interesting also.
Yeah, you must have heard my debate with him. It was on a radio program on the East Coast, aired on about 10 radio stations live. And then I think we aired it also later on, right here on Bob and Yurt Live. And I believe it's on our website at KGOV.com.
Right. Well, the question I had is like a general principle statement. When I get in debates with non-Christian people, they always seem to, you know, twist words and whatnot, especially people on the left. Mm. And my general outlook is to ask the question is, are you doing the right thing? You know, and basically when they use their techniques is they always twist words. What's some of the key concepts you would like your audience to keep in mind when, you know, just talking about issues with, you know, people in public?
You mean like techniques?
Yeah.
For trying to hold someone's feet to the fire?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's tough. The Lord Jesus, when he debated people, which he confronted people often, based on the record we have of the 3 years that he had a public ministry, he confronted people often, but the wicked people that he confronted, it was very rare that they would repent or agree with him. It was pretty rare. So we're dealing with a few problems. One is selfishness and pride. Another is ignorance. And quite often there's willful ignorance, because when people don't want to humble themselves before God or even recognize God, then their pride is a major factor.
Right, and one of the first things they say is, who are you to judge?
Yeah, and what would they quote? What would they quote to say that you shouldn't judge? What would they? Are these Christians who will quote Jesus or what?
Usually they have, you know, one of their political heroes, like, you know, Barack Obama or whatnot, or Hillary. She's always saying don't judge.
And who's Hillary quoting?
Oh,
when she says don't judge, who would she be quoting?
I believe she is quoting the Bible.
Yeah, she'd be quoting Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. So when a Christian says to me, well, look, the Bible says don't judge, I say, well, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to me. And they get all worked up. What do you mean it doesn't apply to you? I said, well, Jesus said right here, we've been talking about killing unborn children, for example. And Jesus said right here that don't do this sin. If you're doing this sin, you're guilty. You got to look at yourself first. Stop committing this sin, then you could go to your brother and tell him about the speck in his eye. But first, if you have a plank in your eye, first take it out, then you could go to him. So because I'm not killing my own children, I have a green light from God to tell other people, don't kill your children. and so
useful.
On.
Very useful. And that what chapter and verse was that?
Well, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. In fact, there's quite an article online called Judge Rightly is Not Some Guy's Name.
Okay.
And have you ever heard of that? Judge Rightly is Not Some Guy's Name?
I think I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And in that article, we go through this whole issue of judging, and Jesus commands us to judge with righteous judgment. That's in John chapter 7, verse 24. He repeatedly taught men to judge with righteous judgment, and he praised the man in Luke chapter 7 who judged rightly. And in fact, the New Testament tells us that we need to judge, and if we can't judge the smallest matters, there's something wrong with us, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he who is spiritual judges all things, and we have the mind of Christ, so of course we have to judge. So we're sort of skipping around on a few different topics, right? But that article is at our website, kgov.com.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. I appreciate it.
All right. And this is Joe, right?
No, Dave.
I'm sorry. Dave. Thank you, Dave, very much. Now let's go to Huntington, Indiana. Joe, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well, Joe. What's up?
Good. I was just calling to ask you how to deal with conflict within a church and within, you know, I was a youth sponsor a couple years ago, and
yeah.
They let me go because they expected me to take kids, I mean, pick them up and take them to church and stuff,
yeah.
Just me and the kid, and you do not want to put yourself alone with a kid.
Oh, well, you know, we have, Joe, we have our young boys in the Scouts, and for quite a few years, Boy Scouts, a beautiful Christian troop here in Colorado, and there are very strict rules, very strict, because you're not only having adults and young boys getting together once a week for years, but there's also trips, and there's camping trips, there's overnight events, and in no circumstance does an adult go with another child alone. So never would you pick up a child and bring that child somewhere, just the two of you. That would not be wise, especially in the climate that we live in today.
Yeah, exactly. And so they let me go. So then... because of that, and I mean, it's and I was working with two of my best friends, and now, you know, they're mad at me, and I believe they're both Christians, but I, you know, they're like brothers I never had, and I don't know how to deal with it in a Christ-like manner. I mean, I don't. Should I judge them? Or,
well,
I mean, I don't
Joe,
know what to do.
You lost me about your two friends. How does that fit into the story?
Oh, they were youth leaders as well.
Okay.
And they, the pastor told him to let me go. The pastor didn't have the guts to tell me.
All right.
That he didn't. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Joe, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When I've seen in my own life, other people, whether it's a relationship, two people are thinking about getting married, or a marriage that looks like it's going toward divorce, or an employee, or a friendship, or whatever, and one person wants to get rid of another person. It's very common that the reason they give is not the true reason. They don't want to say the true reason. So they make up something that sounds, well, it sounds ridiculous. Is it possible that that's happened in this case where they just made this up? This is not the real reason.
I think so, yeah. I suspect. I mean,
yeah. So what you'd have to do is figure out what's the real reason. And in my life, when I have messed things up, I'm not saying you messed things up at all. I'm not saying that at all. But I just want to tell you something I did. In my life, when I've messed things up badly, and I thought, hey, I was perfect in this situation. Why did this all go this way? And I've had friends who said to me, maybe you were imperfect. Pray and ask God what really went wrong. And so I think you could ask God for the wisdom to know whether it was you or someone else, what really went wrong, what's really the reason they didn't want me doing this.
Yeah.
And it's like in a corporate America, you know, you're an employee in corporate America, and generally either they want you or they don't. And if they don't want you, they're going to look for a reason to get rid of you. And if you use your email for private, you know, purposes, your company email, that alone could be good enough excuse to get rid of you. So we, you know, as Christians, we have an advantage that unbelievers don't have. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and we have God's Word. And as we read God's Word, we get to know not only the Scriptures better and all the wisdom they contain, but we get to know God better. And when we know what is genuine, we could spot the counterfeit. So when we know truth and sincerity and honesty and courage, then we could spot the things that are pretending to be right but are really terrible. And so then we have more wisdom at our job and with our friends and with our family members. And so I would pray, Joe, I would ask God for wisdom for you to be able to think through what really happened there. And even if it can't be corrected, how can I learn from this situation? And yeah. Joe, when people don't want me, when like friends, if friends don't want me around, I don't want to force myself on them. Now, it's different if it's child killers. If it's an abortionist and he doesn't want me in his life, I don't care. I force myself on him in his life. But when I was a teenager, I went out to California to study the Bible at Calvary Chapel, at Chuck Smith's church in Costa Mesa. And I only had a few hundred dollars. And I got out there. I had almost no money. But some guy, I got a job right away, and some guy said to me, well, if you'd like, you could stay with me. I'm single. I have a two-bedroom apartment. So I said, sure. And I remember going out shopping, and all I could afford was vegetables. So I got a bunch of vegetables, and I cut them all up for a big salad that could last a few days. And this is my first night there. And he had some saran wrap, and so I took one sheet of saran wrap, covered the salad, and he yelled at me. And I could understand saying, hey, you know, you're just here. We got to figure out how this is going to work. But he yelled at me, which I thought was weird. And I said, you know what? I want to thank you for your offer, but I don't think I'm going to stay here. And so I left, and Joe, I had no money and nowhere to go, and it's 9 o'clock at night in Los Angeles. I just left, just started walking down the street, trying to figure out, Lord, hey, Lord, it's you and me. Oh, help me through this night and help me through my life. So when people don't want you, it's been my approach that I don't want to force myself on people who don't want me, unless they're pro-borch, you know, then I'll show up for their Christmas morning festivities.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Joe. Anything else?
And I was just gonna just tell you that I've been trying to resolve it, and the situation and meet with them, and they don't even want to do that. And I'm afraid God will hold it accountable to me because feel like I'm holding a grudge. If it, you know.
Well, you know, the whole world, Joe, is going to hell, right? The whole world. And millions of families are being destroyed, and children are being torn apart in the womb. And so then we deal with these situations in our life, like my friend is mad at me. And I feel like I ask God to help me to not major in the minors. There's a whole world of people who need you, and the Lord needs you. And so we, you know, something goes wrong. We ask God to help us pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off, and go right back into the battle. And not sit and wallow over, if I wronged my friends, I hope I'll have the honesty and ask the Holy Spirit to search my heart so I could see that, you know, really this was partly my fault or maybe totally my fault. But if not, then Lord, it's you and me. Let's go. Let's go to the next. Let's go down the road. Jesus said, brush the dust off your feet and don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, today, if somebody said that, the average church wouldn't let them in the church. They certainly wouldn't let them in the pulpit. If it was the kind of person who said something mean like that, don't cast your pearls before swine. That wouldn't be allowed in a Christian church today. But maybe if the youth pastor impregnates one of the girls in the youth group, you know, maybe that, figure out how to get through that. But actually judging and judging people and rebuking them for sin, no, that will not be tolerated.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your insight, and I continue to tell people you're the smallest guy I've ever met in my life.
Oh,
I
mean, boy, Joe.
I really appreciate your wisdom. I mean,
Well, Joe, thank you for your love and support and encouragement. May God bless you through this current situation, Joe.
Well, thank you. When are you coming back to Indiana?
Well, I don't know, but we've done many seminars in Indiana over the years, and Lord willing, there'll be another one.
Well, good. I wouldn't mind trying to get you to come here sometime.
Well, let's
come to Huntington, Bibool.
We're about out of time, but maybe that'll happen, Joe. God bless you. Appreciate your call. On our website, on the homepage, on the bottom of any page, we have a way for people to promote Bob and Yurt Live, to host a BEL seminar. And we've done seminars on so many topics, and all those topics are right online, so you could check them out. And we're out of time. So kgov.com.